Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Right Read podcast. Sorry for the off-season hiatus that we had. Made a few changes to the show that you'll probably see very soon. First things first, I am one of your hosts, DeAndre Williams. I'm going to kick it over to my far left.
Twitter user, GG Supremacy.
To my left.
Yeah, I'm Assad. You can find me at Assad NBA.
And we have a very, 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 very welcome addition. Signed a 5-year max contract, Supermax. Please introduce yourself to the people.
Oh, y'all can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff at Bias Houston. But a lot of y'all just know me as just Will. I'm excited to be a part of the Right Read podcast, man. This was a dream come true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Unfortunately, with the addition of Will's Supermax contract, the Right Read pod is in the second apron. So please like and support us. Otherwise, we're going to have to start making cuts. None of us want to do that.
Yeah.
But enough about our offseason. Let's get into the NBA offseason. And I think no team had a bigger offseason this year, this summer, than the Houston Rockets. We added Will. They added KD, right?
Not just KD. Another huge addition with Dorian Finney-Smith as well, rounding out the depth with that team overall. But obviously the big main star of the whole thing, you get Kevin Durant, man. It's a different feeling in the building.
As Raphael Stone said, the biggest reason for trading for Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, right? Isaiah, what's your thoughts on that?
I think first and foremost, obviously, you know, adding a guy who's 27 a game, but, you know, he's been 25 a game, what, the last, 15 straight seasons?
Whole career, right?
Yeah, outside the career season.
He's been above 50% from the field 13
something
in a row.
Like that.
Yeah, it's 50, 40, 90 for, like, multiple years.
Yeah, so adding that guy to a team where it's very clear that you already have, like, a really strong floor with the defense and offensive rebounding, and you kind of just need, like, a consistent, like, scoring option on a day-to-day basis. I think that's huge. I think the biggest thing, too, also is you didn't really sacrifice any identity by doing it, obviously, because the trade, and in the trade, you gave up your two worst rebounders in your lineup and your two worst defenders in your, well, two of the worst defenders impact-wise in the lineup, right? And then you added two guys who are really good rim protectors and who are really good offensive rebounders. So you keep the whole theme of size and rebounding and defense, and then you also added an elite scorer.
Yeah, honestly, I think his name is Easy Money Sniper for a reason. And then for a team that we saw in the playoffs really, really struggle in the half court with the lack of perimeter creation, you saw them really struggling to just find consistent offense, honestly. If it wasn't outside of a Shingun post-up, hoping Amen Thompson gets downhill, really just struggled to create consistent offense. And no slight to Jalen Green, but you go from Jalen Green's inconsistencies to arguably the greatest scorer basketball has ever seen, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon. And with the addition of Dorian Finney-Smith, a 40% three-point shooter. And let's not forget, man, welcome home to Clint Capella.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that team went into the luxury tax form.
Before Clint Capella, though, important note of maintaining the identity of the Rockets, I think re-signing Steven Adams, more than getting KD, is integral to, like, them making sure, I'm saying them, us, making sure that, like, they have the identity of offensive rebounding. Because if we're being so honest, the big reason. He had statistically the greatest offensive rebounding season of all time last year.
Yeah.
Like, to say he was a monster on the boards is literally an understatement.
Yeah.
And I think him coming back under the MLE on a $13 million a year contract that allows us to go out, get guys like DFS, get guys like Capella, I think easily the biggest move of the year, even more than getting KD.
I don't know about that, bro. That's a real hot
take. I'll say on the KD front, I think Dre was really spot on with how you were able to bring in someone who, like, better than pretty much anybody else you could have acquired on the market, addressed your biggest weakness that you had, especially, like, in the playoffs. Was you look at the Rockets, and each game we lost, I think it was, like, single digits, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was, I think the largest
margin of defeat was, like,
Game 7 and Game 2.
Yeah. It was not much. So you throw in, I mean, you make two more free throws, you probably win that series.
Emphasis on free throws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I know it's going to sound, I guess, kind of copish because we are Rockets fans, but I do look at it like if the Rockets were able to get past Golden State, because I think if you add Kevin Durant onto this team, I do think we dismantle Golden State in like 5, maybe 6 games at the most. You get past Golden State, I don't look at the Timberwolves and say that's a team that, you know, give us a run for our money. I say we're in the conference finals against OKC. And, you know, they're a great team. I'm not going to sit here and say we would beat them because, you know, respect the champions. But to say we could compete with OKC, I think we could.
It's a puncher's chance.
Yeah, sure. I think you definitely could compete with them. And
especially
so,
with how the team is built. And you saw some of the weaknesses that OKC had. They tried the double big lineup out with Hardenstein and Chet, but they double big and are double big.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you add to that double big a guy in Kevin Durant who is a rebounder still, is a defender, and you're giving him less defensive responsibility, less rebounding responsibility. We talked about this off air, but like, this is the first time he's really not playing center.
In like
you really think about it.
Since he left OKC?
Yeah.
No, it's been since he left OKC. Yeah.
I also think that's a big reason why Minnesota was off his list.
Yeah.
Because
they
would have to trade Rudy Gobert to get KD. And like, I think KD's looking
at Nas Reed, full time center hoops, man.
Yeah, like I don't want to play center
with Nas Reed. Shoot guard, dude. Let's be honest. Speaking of shooting guards, I will say it is interesting that Raphael Stone and Ime Udoka basically said death to all non-point guards, non-wings, and non-centers. They have a team of 6'7" and taller dudes and two small guards in Reed Sheppard and Fred VanVleet. And shout out to Reed Sheppard. We're about to see what he does tonight in Summer League as we're recording this. It's going to be a lot of pressure on that guy's shoulders.
Yeah.
A ton of pressure for him to step up. Stone said it in that press conference. We need Reed to be good.
Yeah.
It's not an if. It's not a maybe. We need him to be good. And I'm expecting him to step up. Obviously, it's more expectation in terms of what you expect from him. He didn't have the rookie season. I think most people expected to have a number three pick. Obviously, rookie guard on a team that was ready to compete. You don't just throw that guy out to the Wolves, but you expect him to be a producer this year. And at times, man, like, you should look better than Fred VanVleet on nights. You should look ready to command an offense, to really run a second unit at times, run those units with the men, with KD, because that's really the only question mark I have for the Rockets going into next season is genuinely where does that ball handling come from? Because you don't want it to be a thing, which I think KD's probably been upset about the last couple years where, shoot, it's me and Book running point guard.
Yeah.
KD and Kyrie and Harden are out. I'm kind of bringing the ball up every single time, looking at LaMarcus Aldridge, like, what are we doing? So I think that'll be a one key swing for the Rockets, just trying to find that second real, or third in that case after Fred, third real perimeter creator.
But see, I don't think that what we're going to ask Reed Sheppard to do next year is something that's just like unreasonable or like out the realm of possibilities. I think the Rockets drafted him number three overall for a reason. They were obviously very, very high on him when they took him last year. And, you know, like Dre said, he came into a situation where it's hard to impact the game on a team that's trying to win as an undersized rookie guard, but he now has that first year of NBA experience under his belt. And we saw how he looked a little bit towards the end of the season. Now, mind you, it was like March hoops, but we saw how he looked those last couple of games in the season when he was starting, when the Rockets kind of load managing. He looked really good.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm talking about a guy who has to come in and 15, 18 minutes a night be the backup point guard. I feel like if we don't have the faith that he could do that, in year two, we shouldn't have drafted number three overall. So I believe in him. I think he can.
Yeah. And I think flipping to the other end of this trade, right, looking at the Phoenix Suns here, they acquired the leading scorer on the two seed in the West for 52 games. They won 52 games. He led the team in scoring. That's not nothing, right, as we've learned very well from people we talked to on Twitter.
Yep.
Also, they acquired Dylan Brooks, who I don't know if this is a hot take. I think that's the saddest I've ever been to see a Rockets
player. It was, for me.
Yeah, in a very, very long time.
Yeah, which is so funny because I was almost on the Kevin O'Connor train.
I don't think anybody on this stage wanted. I don't know. Did you want Dylan Brooks?
At the price tag that was originally being offered, I was like, hey, I might be good off Dylan Brooks.
I know this side of the pie, but it had nothing to do with Dylan Brooks.
I was like okay with Brooks on like a vet min. That was the level I was at.
Yeah, I didn't want him on a vet min. Didn't want him on a vet min at all.
He definitely had probably the biggest glow up. From an NBA PR perspective, I will say, like, we all went to the games, man. I'm going to miss seeing that stare down.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss just the energy that he brought in. We talked about it in spaces, off air. I was so opposed to trading Dylan now because I thought that he was the real guy that came in and set a culture for the team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ime's defensive impact and identity was so important. Fred bringing in that leadership. But Dylan really was, he was your bully. He was the guy that was pushing people. A play that'll live in my head forever is when DeMar DeRozan tried Debo and Jay.
First dude
that pulled up was Dylan. And I think for the Suns, adding that guy to a team that's kind of lacked that toughness in recent seasons, they've really lacked an enforcer per se. That's huge. A real culture setter for that.
I really think the Brooks and Jalen additions are actually going to be good for the Suns this year. Maybe not when it comes to the win column, but in terms of like, trying to get like a identity culture for your franchise, because I think a lot of times people overlook that and just try to add talent to a roster and are like, oh, like we'll put talented pieces together, we'll win games. and we'll just work off that. But I think you need to have that. It sounds cliche, but I think you need to have that like winning identity.
Not
that
facts.
Get rid of that losing.
Are you trying to say stage. Aura?
No, I'm actually not, man. Although they did acquire Aura.
They did.
I don't think Jalen has more Aura than KD if you want to.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. He did.
37-year-old KD.
Yeah.
Kind of balding now.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
But yeah, but on that note, I do think the Suns, their situation is kind of tough. It's bleak, especially with, as we're kind of looking forward here, it looks like they're going to waive and stretch Bradley Beal.
Which I think is a bad idea. I don't agree. I think if you're going to get rid of Bradley Beal, just take the L and eat his contract now.
Yeah.
I think trying to stretch it and waive it over the next 5 years when you're already deficient. In draft capital, yeah. You did do a pretty good job in the draft. Brought in Rashear Fleming. You brought in I know they took somebody else in the second round. People were pretty high on. So like they did kind of revitalize the team that way through youth. But outside of that, and I guess Jalen Green, their young core isn't all that promising. Yeah. So you're not
Mark Williams.
Mark Williams. Yeah. You know he's young, but you know what I'm saying he may not play basketball for you much next year. But like your team is not really depending upon like growth internally either. So I think giving yourself even more of a long-term like mountain to climb over, I just eat it now.
It's especially odd with the fact that they gave Booker that 2-year $70 million
contract,
which lines up exactly with Bradley Beal's 5-year
because that would make him be free agent in
2029.
But I was just saying both those cap hits are actually aligning together.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're Bradley Beal, similar to we're going to talk about later the Dame contract. Yeah. You're looking at about like almost 90 to 100 mil.
Because he'd be about, 22 for the next 5?
He'd be like 22, 25. Yeah.
Has Mark Williams got extended yet?
No.
No.
They have to extend Mark Williams as well. Although I think they might just do like a expiring year approve it type of situation with Mark Williams because...
They'll have his birth right.
Take him to RFA.
And you have Kamon too. So like I would be hesitant on giving him a big extension.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Especially if
right
like, yeah, I mean, there's a real chance come on starting by
taking
like
the RFA.
Yeah,
take him to RFA. I think would be a good idea.
Because the thing there is, Mark Williams is very talented, but he is pretty
injury prone.
To say it lightly, he's injury prone, and things play what like 60 games over the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, like obviously.
It's the reason why the Lakers rescinded that trade. They got some medicals back that they didn't love. Well, that's one reason. I think they saw they were giving two first round picks up for him and said, maybe not. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he's a guy that's incredibly talented. I like what the Suns have in theory. I'm a big Ryan Dunn believer. I like Oso Igodoro. I think Mark Williams, when he plays, is talented. I was huge on Kamal Malawach. If you believe in Jalen Green, if you're still a Jalen Green believer, what's it looking like?
It's the last 3 years is a 44-19-43.
Oh, yeah, so it's
yeah.
In theory,
that's pretty gross.
Yeah, in theory, that team
105 games.
Yeah, that's bad. Over 3 seasons, that's not good. I will say, in theory, that team has some depth still. Grayson Allen's still there. Royce O'Neal's still there. Like they have some pieces, and Bradley Beal isn't a bad basketball player for say he's a bad basketball player for his contract. Yeah. You don't
no, but so that's kind of the point, right? So the reason we're all like pro, just take your medicine, live out the last few years of a contract, let him walk rather than doing this wave and stretch thing is because we're like, there's no situation where the Suns are competing.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Suns view it that way, which is very bizarre. And on that note, they're in the second apron this year. Yep. Like I think people thought they're like, oh, they're going to move off KD, duck the apron. By acquiring Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, they're still in the second apron. They're on pace to pay, I think, for the third year in
that's
a
like
row.
Like $52 million between those two?
Yeah, yeah. $52 million salary. But they're on pace to pay for the third year in the row, the highest luxury tax in NBA history.
Yeah.
And you're doing that for a team that, like...
may not be in the play.
Optimistically, we're talking optimistically hovering around 40 wins.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the West.
Best case scenario. I'll say in the West scenario. Is a bloodbath. The Spurs didn't even make the playoffs next year. They might be a top 6 seed in the West this year.
It'll definitely be one also like it's a brand new team like a lot of that system brand new coach as well brand new general manager they let James Jones go this should be a I don't want to say a wash year for them just like kind of let this year go by and see what you got from there it'll probably be easier to move Beal if you are going to be able to move his contract when it's a 1-year expiry you might have to eat throwing 5 second round picks on there and go from there I don't get the idea of the wave and stretch. We'll talk about it later with the Dame situation, but that's 2 role players. And that's two role players for a team that desperately needs two role players.
I mean, I don't think there's ever been I was watching Bucks fans talk about this because after the Dame situation, and they were like, there's never been a team to win the championship with more than 5% of their cap in dead money.
Yeah.
And you're talking like what? 18?
Maybe 22.
18% of their cap. So it's just, and speaking of another team that had a lot of head scratching moves this offseason.
Oh, Lord.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. No. Can I make a hot take?
Go for it.
I genuinely think this. We've seen a lot of bad trades in NBA history. That is one of the three worst trades I've ever seen in my life. And by no surprise, Joe Dumars did it. If you know the track record of Joe Dumars making trades, it's no shock whatsoever that the first week in the building, he says, let me give up an unprotected first-round pick in the Western Conference.
That's
like you were believing for a team that has Zion Williamson. We spoke on Mark Williams. I love Zion when he plays. He's one of the most fun and talented players to play in this league. I don't know how many games he's going to play. DeJounte Murray is still coming back from... ACL or Achilles with DeJounte? I forgot which one. But he's coming back from...
I want to see.
So he's not going to be back till optimistically halfway through the season. You moved off of CJ McCollum for Jordan Poole. Lateral move to me, if I'm being completely honest with you. And you drafted two rookies in the lottery who you're going to have to play. For you to look at your roster and say, I'm not going to need that pick next year, it's just insane. Genuine lunacy to me to say, I'm not going to need what it's going to end up being. No funny, a lottery pick in...
But you're only talking about one aspect of the pick. The pick also had, like, let's say the Pelicans are like, no, we're going to be great this year. No one believes in us. We're going to be great. It was also a Milwaukee swap. It gave up a Pelicans and Milwaukee swap. Basically, they're going to get the better of each pick. And it's like, man, Milwaukee, we're going to talk about them later as well, but they're one Giannis injury away from being, I think, one of the worst teams the league has ever seen. Like, KPJ, Kyle Kuzma, second option hoops.
I think the thing with the trade, it's a, for me, it's a twofold, like level of incompetence. One, I think, just the pick capital itself, right? You're going from 13 to, I want to say 23, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
If you look at historically how much it costs to go up from 13 to 23, it's not an unprotected first round pick.
Yeah.
Unprotected first round picks, that's what you have to give up when you're trying to go from like pick three five to one. Like when you're trying to get the number one pick. I want to say the when the Sixers and Celtics made the trade, it the Fulton, it was an unprotected first, right? But that's the case in which there's a guy who was consensus number one in a draft class that is considered stacked, and that's what it took. For 13 to 23, even if you say you want to give up a first round pick, there's no reason why there shouldn't be heavy protections on that pick.
Yeah.
Even at the bare minimum, like top 10, right? And then also the second issue, the second portion of it, what makes it like really incompetent is the Pelicans aren't good. And not only are they not good, all of your best players are injury prone. Zion is injury prone. We already talked about DeJounte Murray. He's probably not going to play this year. And if he does, it's going to be later in the year. Trey Murphy himself, also kind of injury prone.
Yeah.
So there's a real possibility at a certain stretch of this season, you're like, your guys are Herb Jones, Derek Queen, and Jermaya Fears.
Yeah.
And Yee's Missy.
Don't forget Jordan Poole, man.
Oh, yeah.
Respect Jordan Poole.
And the Western Conference, where you already were, what, the 13th seed? It was either 13th or 14th last year.
Yeah.
And pretty much every team above you got better.
Yeah.
And the problem is, for Derek Queen here, I don't hate Derek Queen.
I don't either. I like Derek Queen.
He had an
interesting summer league.
His summer league debut was not very good. I'll just leave it at that.
It was cool. 5-for-9 for the field. The turnovers were nasty, but
that's composite.
The defense was pretty bad. I mean, but like to me, that's what makes it. Because I don't believe in putting too much stock into summer league, especially for rookies. Like sometimes people perform well in summer league and are bad in the league. Some people perform bad in summer league and are great in the regular season, right? But you're putting a lot of stock on Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears being ready to contribute on a team that's trying to compete right now.
Not just contribute. You're asking Derek Queen to start as a starting center
in
a division with Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, Alperen Şengün, Victor Wembanyama.
I don't know if they're planning to start him at center. Because, drafted Yves Missy last year.
I mean, regardless, he's going to
he's a center.
He has to play a lot of
a center. That's an issue. If you drafted Derek Queen to be a center, you're an even dumber person than I thought you were. He's not a center. That's another issue that I have with this trade overall is I didn't love the fit, in New Orleans.
I mean, I can understand. I can understand it from a BPA perspective. If you think that Derrick Queen is just the best thing since sliced bread, and you had to get him, okay, cool. But like I said, he has to be the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah,
and then you have to. You're relying upon him to contribute to winning basketball sooner than later. Because if he's not ready to contribute to winning basketball sooner than later, your pick's not going to be good, and you just gave that pick away to go get him. So,
and not just any pick. And I feel like people say this every single year.
Nah,
I
mean, here you go. The 26
next season, I'm not funny. Next season, it genuinely is, I think, going to be that way from all accounts. Man, don't let that pick jump into the top three. And you told me you missed that on Darren Peterson, AJ DeVonta, and Cameron Boozer. For no disrespect, Derrick Queen. That's ridiculous to me.
That was going to be my point. Also, I think the other portion of the trade, like the other issue is, you're putting so much pressure on Derrick Queen to not just be good. Like, he has to be, like,
really
a star. Like, to return value on it. Because you gave up an unprotected first-round pick. If we come back and Derrick Queen is just, like, a good – he's, like, a top 70 player. Like, he's a good player, right? But you gave up, like, pick six, or at the least, right? And whatever they drafted with pick six is a star, you lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so now for Derrick Queen, like, you kind of got it. Like, he got to be, like, one of the, like, Sengun, like, the guys in the middle of the
But even Sengun, like, year one was not, like, an impactful winning
player. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking overall, Derrick Queen to be. Like, going forward, in order for them to win this trade, quotation marks, he has to be an all-star.
For sure, yeah.
I will say, on the flip side of that trade, though, man, boy, the Atlanta Hawks had one hell of an offseason. And I think it starts with that. Speaking on that trade, for you to get an unprotected first-round pick back and to still, at least from what I've heard, draft the guy you were thinking about drafting at 13 anyway.
Yeah, 13. That's
like,
what
they would have took. I think they would have took Asunuel at 13 if it came push. If push came to shove, and you get that guy at 23, and you add an unprotected first round pick on top of the other things that they did in the offseason.
At the very least, you're gonna have a top 14 pick next year.
Yeah. I was gonna say, please drive home what us has said earlier about the fact that not only is it the Pelicans' unprotected first round pick in a year where Zion goes down, which he's known to do, that pick can be really good. It's also the better pick of the Milwaukee Bucks pick, which we're going to talk about in a second. They just waived Dame, and Giannis is – it's Giannis and friends right now. Like, it's Giannis and KPJ, Gary Trent Jr., Kyle Kuz, which honestly, that in itself sounds hilarious. But, like, that is the team. And so they may not be that good even with Giannis playing. If Giannis goes down, which – that's one of the worst teams in the league, dude.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility for the Hawks to be like a top four seed next year.
They
have like a real nice center rotation, in my opinion, with Trae Young now. I think Porzingis and Onyeka Okongwu are like a legit duo.
You can play them together.
You can play them together. By the way, quick caveat here. Have you noticed how many more teams in the league are pairing bigs to play together?
Even
on the Jonas thing with Denver, they're talking about, oh, he's going to play alongside Jokic at times. Like, I think double big.
Did Ime Udoka start?
Yeah, I was going to say double big coming back in a way that, like, I never would have predicted.
And I think especially for those teams that are mildly inefficient, which I love Trae Young, but he's an inefficient player. Like, he's an excellent basketball player, but he's not giving you 65 true shooting, right? Like, he's going to hover around 58. Right, 57. That's going to be what he is as a player. You got to buy possessions. And I think that they did an excellent job at going out and getting guys that'll buy them extra possessions. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, excellent defender, excellent catch and shoot guy. I think he slides in seamlessly there. You adding that to Dyson Daniels, you're going to get Jalen Johnson back. Risa Shea looked a lot better than I think a lot of people expected in year one. They can run a lot of different lineups. They can run Risa Shea at the two and run a jumbo lineup. They can go small ball to a certain extent. And I think the biggest thing for me, and what I've wanted Atlanta to do for a long time, they've set themselves up for life post Trae Young.
Yeah.
If Trae Young doesn't get them a top four seed this year, I'm not going to lie, that's curtains. You gotta accept at this point, that guy's not the guy. The Helio brand of basketball that he plays, it just isn't going to work, especially in an Eastern Conference that's weaker. If he doesn't produce and get to a conference finals, you got to kind of look and say, what's the value I can get back for him? They've set themselves up. Jalen Johnson was going to be an all-star last year.
Yeah.
Risa Shea looked really good, and he fits next to a lot of guys. Dyson Daniels won MIP for a reason. First team all-defensive guy. Whether you keep Porzingis or flip him, you can do whatever you want with that. You add in that Pelican/Bucks pick.
Which is going to be good.
Like, they've got, whether you believe in a guy like Kobe Bufkin or not, they've got a ton of options with and without Trae Young in the future. I got to give hats off to the Hawks, man. They had one hell of an offseason.
What I feel like I like the most about their offseason is they're taking advantage of a weaker Eastern Conference right now, right? With Jason Tatum being out
probably for the entire season.
Oh, the entire season.
Yeah, so he's not coming back anytime soon. So the Celtics, they've already sold. They sold Porzingis. They sold
Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm. And they'll probably make some other moves. I think they're going to move Anthony Simons again. So with the Celtics being out of the picture, you know, unfortunately, I'll say Haliburton tore his Achilles in the finals. And, like, he's for sure not coming back. He tore it in the worst game, second possible.
Yeah.
And then Dame being off the Bucks. Yeah, like the East is kind of wide open right now. Like any of the teams, I mean, like it's the Knicks, so the only team that's like
I said Knicks, Cavs. You say Magic with the addition of Desmond.
Yeah, they should be in
it. Yeah. And I was gonna say, like, it like to Dre's point, you have built a team that on paper at least is the ideal team around Trae Young, who is a smaller guard, who, you know, he can be a lot of your offense, but because of his limitations and his size, he's not necessarily he might be the one, if not the worst, rotation defender in the league, which is, you know, it's okay to say that because what he does offensively. But now he's on a team where he's the smallest guy by far. Like Alexander Walker is 6'4", 6'5". And then from there, it's a bunch of 6'7", plus guys. And that's the type of team that you need around Trae Young to insulate him defensively. I think there's a lot of, like, versatility to their wings. Like, Dyson Daniels can kind of do a little bit of ball handling on top of his defensive, acumen. Jalen Johnson, like you said, was going to be an all-star. He's honestly one of the most underrated players in the league right now. Richie has some something to his game, right? There's something there.
I think he's become kind of underrated as the number one overall pick. I actually liked his rookie season.
Especially for the expectations people had for him. Mm-hmm. You see, like, I don't think he'll ever be, like, the sexy pick. He's never going to be the guy that, like, you look and be like, it's going to be hang as he pulls and tweens. But, man, he does his job, and he does it really well. Like, there's a real possibility that he kind of can get to that vein of, like, Klay Thompson-esque to me. Like, that was always, like, the idea for me around him. Deadly catch-and-shoot shooter, great POA, great team defender, can put the ball on the floor at times when you need him to.
Like he plays a role. He stars in his role.
Yeah.
And especially, like, he's bigger than Klay. He's about 6'8", 6'9", long wingspan. Like, he's going to be a good basketball. He's a good basketball player right now, and he's still got room to grow.
He has so much more to grow.
Like, the team that they have built, man, I'm very, very intrigued by it. And I think more importantly for me, man, like, if Trae Young doesn't produce, there are genuinely no excuses for him as a player and for him as a number one option.
You just got to get to the conference finals. That's the bar for it. Is this team, can he stay together moving forward? Did we make it to the conference finals?
Barring, like, if they're like the four seed and fall to the Cavs and they're the one seed again, I'm not going to look at you too crazy. But for me, like, the Cavs aren't unbeatable to me by any stretch. They should be able to. I don't think there's a clear, to me, definitive best team in the East as of right now. We've seen what the Cavs are to me, man. I know what Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
You'd probably give it to the Cavs, though, just off of the strength of their regular season this year. And then I think they did. The majority reason they lost is like, Lonzo's not bad, but I think it was mostly injuries more than anything else.
Am I going to bank on them being healthy? This isn't the first time they got hurt.
That's the bigger issue. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And honestly, speaking of players getting hurt, honestly, a good example of how fast things can change in the NBA. 2 years removed from winning a championship, the Celtics, even prior to Jason Tatum's injury, were very clearly on their way out of the playoffs to the hands of the New York Knicks, a team who they beat every single game of the regular season very handily. Too. Yeah. Was pretty shocking even prior to Jason Tatum going down. And now that he's out, I think they're in full semi-tank retool mode. Shipped off Jrue Holiday, shipped off Porzingis. Didn't really get a significant return for either one of those guys. More really just salary dumping, avoiding that second apron. And we're going to watch first option Jalen Brown and Derek White hoops.
Yeah, don't forget Anthony Simons, man. Don't forget Anthony.
They're already trying to reroute him.
Like, they should. I mean, they probably should reroute him. Honestly, for me, Anthony Simons isn't a bad basketball player. He's limited in what he can do. He is the prototypical shooting guard. So, like, he's one of those. But, like, he's still, in that offense especially, where they're just going to tell him chuck as many threes as you want, his value's probably going to skyrocket a bit more. I'd hold on to him and wait, see at the deadline. Maybe he's just a good player for you. Maybe he's just a good player, they need a guard now. Maybe he just works out. You find a reasonable deal for him. But yeah, to your point, man, I would not be shocked if Jalen Brown has a wrist surgery. I would not be shocked if Derek White has a lot of knee soreness. I would not be shocked if they're hovering around.
They have their pick next year, right?
Yes,
they do. They have their pick, say, real quick, nightmare scenario. They do what the Warriors did. Mid-dynasty.
Oh, my goodness.
Steph broke his
hand. And I was going to say, they actually know how to draft.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, like, no. And to Dre's point, I'll be pretty shocked if there's a Wiseman in this draft. I really like that top.
I don't think it is.
Like,
and even if it's not a top three pick per se for them, man, you give the Celtics a top eight pick.
Yeah, it's
like that's just gonna be a cheap rotation player at that. Like,
I mean, look how much a few years ago, like, well, I'd say a few years ago, it was just last year. With Lively for the Mavs.
Yeah, it's
like,
probably gonna be a rotation big.
Yeah.
Funny enough.
I'll say you get a lottery pick, you draft the right guy, and the Celtics have shown they're very good at drafting. I mean, that can really change your franchise around. Like, it can. Or you get a, especially for a contender like that, who's kind of built off of cap space, you're always up against the second apron. Having people that can contribute on rookie contracts, super important. Deals. Like, OKC won the championship this year. Almost half their rotation, especially like those end of roster guys that were contributing, second round picks.
Super duper cheap.
Yeah, I think
that's one quote unquote miss that the Celtics had in their attempt to build a dynasty. Like, I liked Jordan Walsh, but he wasn't ready to play real minutes for them. Like Baylor Shire last year, he wasn't ready to really contribute minutes for them yet. Obviously, those guys they're going to play this year. So you're going to see what those guys are actually made of now in a more open, free environment where they can get their games off. But that's something that's going to be super important for them. And now it looks like, you know, you're not picking 27, 28. That's one thing. Like, they're an excellent drafting team, but you can only draft so well at pick 30 over and over again. You can only draft so well at pick 27 and expect to get a legitimate rotation guy. So, man, even if they get, at worst case scenario, if it's pick 14, if it's pick 12 for them, like, that's 20. You're getting a top 20 guy in a class. And for a team that has an excellent scouting department, excellent coaching staff, excellent development team, they're going to add a good piece to that roster.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get Jason Tatum back. Whether they move Jaylen Brown's contract or not for something, you're going to get value in return for him. You're going to get value in return for Simons eventually. Like, they're set up for a really, really interesting year in terms of how they approach it. But Adam Silver, this is my cry out to you. I get the storyline, bro. AJ DeVance, that he's from Massachusetts. I get it. Hometown hero, blah, 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 blah.
They about to rig.
Please, no. Rest in peace to him. You do not need to Lynn Bias this thing for the Celtics, man. We don't need another situation where a perennial champion dynasty adds a top three pick. We don't need to see it done.
They did it already when they got Tatum in the middle of the
round. That's true. Like, they don't, like, that team doesn't need it again.
Yeah, they already did it.
Those weren't their picks. And also, on this note, I see a lot of people still kind of projecting them as like a top 6 to 8 seed. I'm kind of going to go out on a limb here. Even though it is the East, I think they're going to be a playing team.
I, from a strategic standpoint, I think it makes more sense for them to look at this season as that kind of reset year.
I also have an exercise I want to do that makes me think they're going to be a playing team.
Mm-hmm.
5 seconds. Tell me the Celtics started center.
Is Xavier Tillman on the roster? I don't even know.
No. I don't know who they're starting center.
Al Horford go.
Al Horford's gone. They lost Cornette.
Yeah.
Who did they sign?
Yo, is Tillman dead? Not on the roster?
I thought Tillman was on a 2-year deal. I might throw in it. Yeah. But, like, who is there?
But that's kind of my point. If I can't name your starting center, you're not a playoff team.
Simons, in theory, right? Simons, Derek White, Jaylen Brown. Who's even there for?
So they did get Luka Garza.
I think Luka Garza.
And then they still
like Neem. Sorry. Yeah, Nikita.
Neem's key. I mean, he was, like, decent for them in some. Like, he's not a. He's not a starting center.
If he's a starting center.
George Niang?
All right, bro. I'm going to let best trash talk.
Yeah, you're right. Game.
But I'm saying, like, I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a playoff team.
I mean, like I said, I don't think they should want to be. Yeah. Like,
I agree.
Bro, Joe Mazzulla is doing podcasts. That psychopath is doing podcasts. They're not making a play. He's not watching no film. He's not even at summer league.
Because you're down your best player. Honestly, at this point, can we argue he's for sure one of the best Celtics ever, but like...
A top five player.
Yeah, so he's making that argument, and so like you're not gonna win nothing without that guy. Yeah, sure. So just go ahead and accept it. I think you establish the way for your team to be successful trying to navigate the second apron. If you go ahead and be bad this year, draft high, and then kind of come back next year reloaded.
Yeah, my only thing with them though is I do think they will be like annoyingly good until they start giving.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, the East is weak.
Yeah, and so you kind of worry if they do it for too long, does your chance for like a top five pick go from, I have like the 9th or 10th worst odds, I have a chance to jump to, I'm like 14 because we made the play-in and we were like the 8th seed and then we lost out of the play-in. Because that's a very real possibility. They're probably not going to be top six because like you said, it's kind of hard to be top six with no starting center.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. You look at like 7 through like 11,
Like, are they better?
Are they
than,
not better than like Toronto?
Yeah, I was going to say, are they better than like the Raptors? Are they better?
They probably
than,
are.
Because Pacers are probably going to be bad next year to a certain extent.
I mean, yeah. Scotty Barnes, Brandon Ingram, Jakob Poeltl, cool RJ one, Barrett.
They're cool, but like.
That's not that bad. Emmanuel Quigley.
Because the East is weak, that might be like a 60, but that is like the definition of a play.
It's a front court of Luka Garza and Nemes Kleda. Like,
I will say for some of the other teams in the East, and I think it does include the Celtics, like for the Raptors of the world, for a team like Chicago, if you are still 9-10, it's time to blow it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason the Celtics should be better than you next season. It should be clear that, like you said in the Raptors case, they got guys.
Yeah.
They have, like, these graphics guys. Yeah, like, they have, like, legitimate dudes.
Yeah. They kind of got to be good.
Yeah, like, those teams have to be good. Chicago's got to be good, whatever they do with Giddey. Like, yeah. Those teams, like, if you're not good and you're not better than the decrepit Boston Celtics.
Toronto got, like, three people on mass
contract. I'm going to keep it a beat.
They're not better than the Celtics.
They got a mass on their team, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think Masai left for a reason, but that's a combo for another day. I will say onto the next with.
I was gonna say this is, in my opinion, the team that had the best offseason.
Nah, I'm gonna.
Is that a hot take?
Yeah, they
have named the Rockets.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
Between them and the Hawks, I think yeah.
Okay, offseason in terms of putting themselves in championship contention.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I would give the Hawks number two behind the Rockets, but number three.
Yeah, they got an unprotected first round pick that's gonna be top eight.
So many different like. Revamps their they have a roster now, so yeah. I will give them. But you're right that the Nuggets. Are
by the way, yeah, we're speaking on the Denver Nuggets, and I think there's a real conversation to be had that prior to their offseason moves, you were looking at this team being like, man, they're stuck with Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? And even in that decrepit kind of situation they were in, they took the defending champs defending champs to 7,
yeah.
And
yeah.
In game 7, lost Aaron Gordon to injury.
Yep.
Like an injury
game
goes
6 actually.
Yeah, game 6. Yeah, game 7, he was out there fighting for his life. Like, I don't even know how.
I mean, the team with the best player in the world got better. I think that's, like, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Obviously, Jokic is, he's going to wait another year to sign that extension so he gets paid more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean.
That was kind of a non-story.
Yeah, I think it. I thought it would become something bigger. I'm surprised the outlets didn't make more of a big deal. Y'all know how I feel about Cam Johnson. The fact that they got Cam Johnson, and I will.
Argument for best role player.
I will run to the moon with this one, dog. For just, and I do mean just, Michael Porter Jr. in a pick that they don't even care about. I don't care. Like, I get the idea of a 2032 unprotected first. Cool, whatever. Nikola Jokic ain't gonna be worried about 2032. And that's the only thing that they have to worry
pick,
about.
Because that's something me and you got into, I wouldn't say argument, discussion on playback. I think that pick is worth more to the Nets than it is to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the Nets, I am looking at it like 2032, Jokic is 37, 38 years old.
He probably won't be
there. I'll say Jokic is going to be like the guy who's going to play late into his, like, he might be done by then.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, that's a pretty good pick for you for the Nets. But from the Nuggets perspective, like, yeah, you got a really good player who, and I think the biggest difference between him and Michael Porter Jr. is he's healthier. Like, that's the biggest issue with MPJ.
He's healthier.
Than MPJ, yeah.
He's still not. I wouldn't call him a healthy guy.
Cam Johnson has missed some games.
He missed
in the
a lot
past.
Of games.
I will say part of that is probably due to the Brooklyn Nets saying, go ahead and sit down. But like, he's picked up some like little injuries like in the last couple
MPJ
of seasons.
MPJ had the lingering back problem.
I will say, I
just had a shoulder injury.
Shoulder in the playoffs.
Like, we don't know how Cam Johnson's going to play in the playoffs and all that. Like, that's a little more up in the air.
He's playing against Nikola Jokic.
That was going to be my point. He can be better than 7 points on 32% from three.
It can't be worse. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I think from the Nets side of this trade, I'm not a fan. to put it lightly, dude, I'm just not a fan. For multiple reasons. One, I don't think you got enough. I think the 2032 first round pick was a really good asset. My problem is with the MPJ portion, you traded the guy with a smaller salary and you absorbed a guy who's making $40 million. That's not something you can just wake up and be like, hey, I'm going to trade this guy who's making $40 million. Because I think I understand the framework of I'll make a trade with you. I'll get a guy back that I can flip for more picks and I'll get a pick back. So at the end of the deal, it's like three first round picks instead of MPJ and a first. But my issue is I just don't see the teams that are going to look at MPJ and be like, yeah, I'll give you a first round pick for him. I don't. Now, if one of these teams do it, then I'll just look stupid and I'll apologize. But I don't see the team that's dumb enough to say, hey, let me get this guy who has an injury rap sheet. He's like a top 70 player. And he's making pretty much a max contract. I'll give you a high value first round pick for it. I don't see that. And then from the Denver end, I mean, they just ran away, man. Like, first of all, with a 2032 pick, I don't care about that, dude. I have the best player in the league right now.
Yeah, you don't care about it.
Like, if I'm worried about a 2032 first round pick with the best player in the league on my roster, I should be fired. And from the perspective of Cam Johnson, he's a better basketball player, period.
Yeah.
He's better on the ball. He's a better passer. He's a better scorer. He's a worse rebounder, but I think you make up for it with all the other stuff that he's better at.
Yeah.
And he's making $15 million less dollars.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other point. Like, he is making almost half of what MPJ is making, and he's better. Yeah. You more pretty much just gifted the Nuggets, like, the ideal role player for Jokic.
Yeah.
And then it also allows them to go do stuff like the JV stuff and get Bruce Brown.
Which,
and they lost count. Like, they still made up salary.
They got TH.
They have a smaller salary pool than they did when they came into free agency because MPJ was making so much that they split that off into three players.
Yeah, they cut salary and got better.
Players that all fit with the team.
Yeah.
And it's a team that found a general manager 8 days ago, something like that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's been unconventional. That's a great first move. But, like, firing their head coach before the playoffs, them hiring Adelman, and then ending up working out for them. I think they went, like, way further than they expected to be.
I mean,
One game away from, I'm not going to lie, they might be a champion.
And I was going to say that if you beat the Thunder, you probably could also go on and beat the Pacers in the finals.
Yeah.
And so that team that kind of limped to a game seven because they were banged up, didn't have much depth at all, right? They, in theory, knock on wood, should be healthier now. And then they actually have that. Bruce Brown comes back. He's somebody who had a lot of chemistry with Jokic.
I was going to say, my biggest issue with Bruce Brown was I thought he was a Jokic merchant. But, I mean, he's back next to Jokic.
And I was going to say, people don't remember, but he played a real role on that 2023 championship team. So, like, they get that guy back. You also add in THJ, which
–
they added a real shooter to the roster, which they kind of were missing, at least in terms of on their bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
You add that guy into the mix. And then for the first time in – I mean, is it ever that Jokic has had a real backup?
Oh, he's got two of them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Bayron Holmes.
He's got two of them. Deron Holmes were back. He got two actual backup bigs for now. Like, I would say the on-off gimmick with Jokic should die a bit. It's still going to be ridiculous because he's Nikola Jokic. But I think for the Denver Nuggets to go into this offseason, and it looked so bleak. It looked so, like, dire for them. Lakers fans were spamming the Jokic jersey swap. For it to go from there to, man, this team's terrifying.
They have a real rotation. Because that's the thing, too. I think another portion was, like, they were asking their younger guys to do a bit more because they didn't really have depth. But now, like, Peyton Watson kind of is, like, their 10th man now. And that's kind of what he should be. Strother is, like, their 9th man now. And that's kind of what he should be.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you adding guys who have played, like, real roles on team. Like, THJ has been a starting caliber player for a while. Bruce Brown was a starting caliber player. And obviously Cam Johnson is also a starting caliber player. But you're also allowing your young guys to be young guys and be able to, like, not have to play a crazy role and have, a ton of expectations. And, like, you know, for the other teams in the West, God forbid one of these young guys just happen to be
a
little better than what people think they are. Now they got a real, real rotation around the best player in the league.
I don't think it's ridiculous at this point. If you want, I would disagree, but if you wanted to argue with me and say Denver's the best team in the West, I don't think it's a crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to play them.
I don't want to play them.
You didn't want to play them last year because they have Nikola Jokic. Like, and it's the funny thing. It's not like they have, like, world-beating depth. They just have regular
depth.
And it's all they needed. Like, that you just need regular depth around Nikola Jokic.
I gotta
and
say it again,
give it to him.
MPJ averaged 7 points on 32% shooting from three in those playoffs, and they went to 7.
Aaron Gordon couldn't run.
Yeah. Could not move.
He couldn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and no disrespect, but, like, they were relying on big Russell Westbrook in big 2025.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they were doing. And shout out to Russ. Russ played a really good role for them. I think a lot of people were
shocked. Oh, my God. The previous series, he played like Steph Curry.
No, yeah. Like, what,
he shot Steph Curry
numbers.
Then, oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. He was like Peter and Family Guy. Corner three over and over.
Over and over.
To one team that had a hell of an offseason adding depth to what the hell are you doing?
I kind of want to pair these next two teams together, honestly, because I think there's a real through line between the Lakers and the Bucks about kind of holding on
to a certain extent
to guys that I think that, like, it's best for both sides at this point.
It's a different reason as to from the Lakers' perspective. There's a reason why they're holding on to that guy. From all reports, from all accounts, I don't think either party, the LeBron James clutch party and Rob Pelinka in the Lakers front office, I don't think they want to work together anymore.
Yeah.
I just think both parties have sat down and said, there's really not a better option for either one of us right now. LeBron is LeBron. He's still going to be a top 15 at worst player in basketball. And on his day, he can still be the best player in the world at times. But you're not getting trade value back from him. No team is trading for $53 million for a 41-year-old. Who might retire next season. You don't know.
I'll say no goods, because like the problem is you have to, it has to be a team that is good. So because LeBron's not, he's not going to play for the Wizards. Right? No disrespect to the Wizards. I think they've actually had a great offseason. So let me not disrespect them. But he's not going to play for Washington. So it has to be a team that is good. But then that team that is good also has to have, what is it, $50 million?
53.
So they have $53 million that you're okay with getting rid of. That if you get rid of, you're still a good team. And you have to be okay with the reality where you just let that guy go and LeBron could retire the next season. Like, it, like for example, the Cavs. I'm not saying they should do this, but if the Cavs in their brains rationalize Darius Garland for LeBron, they think that's enough to get them over the hump. Are you comfortable trading Darius Garland knowing that it could be for a year of LeBron?
Even on the flip side of that, like from the Lakers' perspective, are you cool running with Darius Garland and Luka? Two excellent players, but like
at that point, honestly,
would you flip Darius Garland? Like Luka's a point guard. He's 6'7", big body, but he's a point guard.
I think the Garland ideal that we've Reeves seen next to Luka,
that's nasty. Especially knowing that like you have to pay Reeves next season, and I'm gonna be honest, you cannot lowball him. He's gonna walk into free agency. Some team's gonna offer him at least.
You're gonna be like, you gotta go get it.
And I mean for that. Like Gabe Vincent's still on the roster making $11 million. Maxie Kleber's on the roster making $11 million. What does Jared Vanderbilt do at this point? Like, no disrespect, it's summer league, but like
20 as well.
Too. Rui's a good player though. Like, yeah, I feel like he's been getting a little slighted. But like, what does Dalton Connect do at this point?
He looks kind of rough in summer league, man. That's not a good sign,
especially for being an older guy. Like, they just have, they got like four dudes you look at and it's like they're good players. Everybody else, you're like, man, Bronny might have to play. Like, Bronny might have to be ready to play right now. Like, Jake LaRavia to me was a good pickup. I like Jake LaRavia.
Especially that salary number. I think it's going to be good.
Like, DeAndre Ayton's going to be, like, the biggest what if in the NBA this year. If there's anybody that can make DeAndre Ayton look like he's supposed to look, it is Luka.
It's Luka, man.
It's just, I know what DeAndre Ayton is. He's a very low effort at times big. You have to get him to care about playing defense because it's never a talent issue. It's never an athleticism issue. I don't think he's a dumb player by any means. I just think he doesn't care.
It's a motor issue.
He doesn't care.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Just to, I guess, be on the Lakers side of this argument, I also know what DeAndre Ayton is better than Jackson Hayes.
Oh, yeah. You got him. And you got him for absolutely.
And you got him for $8 million. Like, I don't want to call it a home run signing, but it's kind of a no-brainer.
To a certain extent,
it's a no-brainer signing.
But
like,
I'll say the other side of why their offseason to me is kind of like somewhat of an L right now, outside of the fact that it's looking like LeBron and the Lakers are going to go ahead for a divorce. I don't think people understand how important DFS was for that team last year.
Yes.
They were, and I wish I put the number up, but they were hovering, I think they were like three games above 500 pre-DFS D'Lo trade. Obviously, they did go in and get Luka after that. But the run where they went, remember they took the two
seed
from
us? Yeah, they did.
That was because of DFS. Like, his on-offs are crazy. They were pretty much running him at center for them at times. And so, like, and obviously they have the DeAndre Ayton now. But for someone to kind of be that team's entire defense, that entire anchor on that end, and then, like, Jake LaRavia is a good basketball player. I don't think he does that for
No, he definitely.
And off the court, just from like a player relationship standpoint,
Luka.
That was Luka's best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, very openly, very well documented. That was Luka's guy. And I mean, there's some rumors about what Pelinka tried to do to kind of lowball DFS, may have spread some rumors about him, got back to his camp. He didn't like it. And I'm just saying, with an upcoming Luka extension, that's kind of not the kind of stuff you want to throw
out. That's the other side of this. Like, Luka's young. He ain't that young. Like, this isn't 22-year-old Luka. Like, you're effectively now, he's going to be 27 this year.
27.
You're effectively wasting a year of prime Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. I love Luka. I think he's going to play for probably another 7 years. Man, you can't take for granted a year, though. Not the way the NBA is now and how volatile it is. Like, what if next season Luka has the best season of his life? If he gets back to 33-9-8 like he was a couple years ago, he's in better shape, might be a little bit better of a defender.
Yeah.
Are you ready to put a championship team around that? Doesn't look like it at the moment.
I mean, to that point, Tatum won his first ring at 26. Giannis won his first ring at 27.
Yep.
LeBron won his first ring at, 27?
Shea just won at 26.
Shea just won at 26. Like, this is the age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're 26, 27, that range. And Like, there's a very real chance Luka's going to come in the next season playing the best basketball of his life. And his starting center is DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
The guy next to him is Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
His wing is Rui Hachimura.
Yeah. Who's the other wing?
Who is the other? Yeah.
Like LeBron. Obviously, you got LeBron right now, but like off the bench, who is the other wing?
Yeah. Like their bench
like is Austin Connect. It's like Connect, Bando. Like it's Laravia, obviously, he'll come in now, but like.
Bronny James.
Yeah. Like Bron. No funny. Like Bronny. He actually probably, might have to play. He has to play. And from one team that, because we brought up the Bucks earlier, from one team that I think didn't try as hard as they should have to a team that tried really hard. I just think that they made.
Tried too hard.
Just some head scratching moves to me. Yeah. I don't get what the Bucks were doing. I get that Dame wasn't going to play for a year. You're trying to maximize as many years for Giannis as possible. God, that was such a scummy thing to do. Like, it was a pretty scummy thing to do where, like, a guy comes back early from a blood clot for you, plays on, I believe he had hurt his calf.
Yeah.
Like, two or three weeks before, rushes back from the calf injury and tears his Achilles for you. And, again, this is a guy that he didn't ask to go to Milwaukee. Milwaukee was not on his destinations. He really wasn't as well received as a lot of people expected him to be in Milwaukee.
Not at all.
And that guy, he went out there less than 100%, tears his Achilles on the floor for you. And the first moment you say, I'm cutting ties.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you've done, Dame. But we're going to pay you 22 for you to not play for us.
I think weirder than the Dame front, like at the end of the day, Dame's still getting paid.
Yeah.
Still getting his money. The way the cap works out, you're essentially paying Miles Turner like $50 million because his contract is also similar to like the Beal Booker situation.
Yeah.
His contract's also lined up with the way you had to waive and stretch Dame's cap hit across the next 5 years. Right?
Because he's what, 4 years and Dame was five?
Yeah. So it's basically lining up to each other. So you are effectively paying Miles Turner about $50 million.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like, I don't know anyone. Well, I know some people, but I don't know any like reasonable person that like watched that playoff run. Yeah. Watched that playoff run and is like, oh yeah, Miles Turner is worth $50 million. Wait, you know,
finals, man, because I was rooting for the Pacers. It was brutal for Miles in the finals.
It was multiple fourth quarters where I'm checking the box score and I'll be like,
dude, they had to
play. He was better.
They had to sub in Tony Bradley. Like, Obi Toppin's playing the five. Like, they had to do that because, quite frankly, Miles Turner could not buy a rebound. And I think for a team that.
What did he shoot in the finals?
Brook Lopez, it was horrible. Remember the stat about, like, him and Chet had, like, the worst field goal percentage, I think? Like, a final center. But, like, the idea, I think, of Miles Turner has always been better than the player he actually is. Like, he is, I've said this, he's not a rim protector. He's a shot blocker. Massive difference. He does stretch the floor, but what he offers outside of that, like, he's not an excellent roller. He's not an excellent screen setter. Like, the big man things that you need somebody to do.
He's not even a great lob threat.
Yeah, not a great lob threat. And especially next to a guy like Giannis, like, the only, I'm not going to say only valuable thing. He's still a good basketball player. But the most valuable thing he's going to do next to Giannis is stretch the floor. But he's a worse rebounder than Brook Lopez. He's a worse screener than Brook Lopez. He's going to be a better defender simply because Brook was old, man. Like, Brook was on his last leg. But I don't get the idea of giving that guy that money after seeing what he just did. And he wasn't even great when he played them. He wasn't great when he played the Bucks whatsoever.
To somewhat defend the Bucks, they are in desperation mode. Like this,
oh, they are.
This is like crunch time because Giannis. Like, I mean, not to use like Speed as like breaking news, but did y'all see the stream where Speed was talking to Giannis and he asked him like, "Are you gonna request a trade?" Pretty much, Giannis didn't give him a concrete "Yeah, I'm staying." It was more like a
"Probably
I'm gonna stay." Like it was almost like you can tell he's definitely. He's thought about it. So, like, if I'm the Bucks, like, does it make more sense to trade Giannis? Probably.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Giannis is on that threshold of he's that generational. You'll go 20 years, won't get a Giannis ever again.
Yeah. You might go longer.
Longer than that.
Yeah. So, if my options are trade him now and hope I can get another Giannis or exhaust every single asset into trying to keep Giannis and trying to make something stick, I'll do it. Even if it's something kind of stupid, like giving Miles Turner that much money.
I don't fault them for the effort. I just think the execution was just drastically poor. One, I still don't love Doc Rivers as a head coach. I think their guard plays.
I'm surprised he's still there, honestly.
Yeah. Listen, they can't fire him. Like, they can't fire him. They're paying. That would be their fourth head coach they're paying when they hire a new one. So, like.
You can't pay four head coaches.
Man, no. Not when you're already so much.
Yeah, and you're paying second. Oh, my God.
Like, and I think the more important thing, we spoke on about it with Beal, if they choose to do it with him, that's two role players that you chose to not sign because you wanted to stretch and waive Dame's contract. And it's not like it expires like next year or the year after that. That's five years. Effectively, if Giannis stays, the end of Giannis's career, Damian Lillard is still going to get paid by the Milwaukee Bucks. That's disgusting. That could have been.
How many years did he have to do it, too?
I think Giannis has two left, but like, hypothetically speaking, if he re-ups.
I'm talking about Dame. It's 2 years, too, isn't it?
It was 2 years, but they stretched it out to 22 over five. So I don't know. I don't know the restrictions on the CBA of how far you can stretch a contract out. I think it is just five.
I was reading into it. It's some weird minimums around it. Yeah. Like, you have to do it for a certain amount of years, and it has to be a certain percentage. It's like the CBA tells you not to do it.
Yeah, like that's that was the point of it. Yeah.
They don't like that. But you want to transition us?
We can transition. Oh, so in celebration, because we are Rockets fans, in celebration of Kevin Durant joining the Houston Rockets, today we will be drafting teams using Kevin Durant's best teammates throughout his NBA career. We're going to be doing teams of two. So this side versus that side, you'll be drafting a starting five and a six man. And then I pulled up a coin. I'll let you call it heads or tails to get the first pick.
I mean, tails never fails, man.
Tails. So y'all can see what it is. All right, well,
heads. Tails.
We're going to take Steph Curry with the first pick in the Kevin Durant draft. Yes,
are we doing snake or back to back?
No, I don't think we should do snake real quick because it's going to be one team's going to have four of the first six guys.
Yeah,
so I think it should go.
Okay, we can go back to that. Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. Well, yeah, with the first pick in the KD draft, the left side's taking Steph Curry.
I think there's an obvious one.
Yeah,
I'm taking James Harden.
Yeah, I think we'll take James.
Your pick.
Okay, we already took Steph.
I had to take.
I'll take Booker.
Okay.
We're drafting the prime versions of these players, right? Yeah,
the very best
version. Okay,
they're in their primes.
Do you want to go guard or do you want to go with I have a pull if you trust me.
This early?
No, because I'm trying to think. I'm thinking strategically about
your roster.
About the actual roster. Like, you'll be able to get a guard for Kevin Durant later. Still be a guard. It's just a big. Just trust me. It's a center.
Okay, you got it.
Just trust me. It's a center. We're gonna take DeMarcus.
Yeah, Kevin. I just what you go.
Oh, you know what? I like that.
Okay, so our options now.
I know, we need a big or a wing.
Okay, because I have there's a wing-ish player you play with.
Yeah.
I'll call it. We're gonna take Blake Griffin here.
Oh,
that's a good pick.
That's a good pull.
You want to go guard here, or do you want to go?
I think so. We got a shooting guard. We got
a
center.
There's a wing that we can take.
I think take one guard now. Or are you running James?
We could run James at point. Which version of James? We're taking Rockets James.
I'm taking 2019.
Are we running? Are we running with the one? Or, are we running with the one or the two? That's the real question.
I'm just thinking 2018 Rockets with KD would be nice, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like KD playing the Trevor.
I'm not mad at it. Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
We're taking Chris Paul.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not that's even taking Rockets Chris Paul. I'm taking second. Yeah, I'm taking New Orleans Chris Paul too.
Prime Chris Paul.
Big, I ain't gonna lie.
We have CP.
Oh man,
James.
He gotta lock it. We gotta lock it.
All right, we need a wing. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Draymond.
Oh, that was my pick.
I was hoping he'd be there. All right.
So I have an idea. Right, we can go. No. We can go a bit of a. He can space the floor. It's a bit more double big. He played with him in Brooklyn for a season.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna take LaMarcus Aldridge.
Okay,
I like it. That's a good one.
So we need another guard. Right,
nasty double big.
We need a
triple. It's KD.
You gotta run Blake or KD at five game or Draymond. That's the front court.
Let's see.
We probably need another like wing guard.
Nah, we don't have a center.
I ain't gonna lie, at this point, again, Draymond the center, bro.
Small ball five.
Yeah, we'll go.
What do you mean? Kevon Looney's still on the board.
Okay. Bro, chill.
Okay.
Bro, y'all don't want Nick Collison?
Yeah.
There's. Okay, all right.
There's an obvious pull, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
Is it? In what position?
Shooting guard.
Okay, so you're thinking Clay?
Yes.
Okay, I was gonna. We can draft Clay, and then we'll. Yeah, I'm hoping that y'all don't think what I'm thinking.
Okay, we're gonna take at six man Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Damn, that's a good pick.
Okay. You see the wing then?
Yeah.
And
then, okay, so it's our six man now? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. What's our five?
Yeah.
We have
Curry, Booker, KD, Draymond, Blake, Clay.
Oh, you don't get KD.
You
get KD.
I'm tripping. Okay, so we have five. Yeah.
We need a six man.
Yeah, you got six man.
I got to think about this one. I ain't going to lie.
You got a wing?
I have a suggestion.
It's a funny suggestion.
You got it.
I don't know.
That's all pool. Yeah. We're taking Kyrie, bro. We're taking Kyrie.
Kyrie?
Yeah. So what's your final roster? It is
Curry, Booker,
Clay,
Blake. We're running Draymond at the five.
Kyrie out the
and Kyrie out the bench.
This team kind of nuts.
So we need a wing.
That's an Olympic roster.
We could go.
I have a
one. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say,
I have one. I have a serious one and a funny one. Which one do you want to go with?
Go with funny, man.
Take Royce O'Neal.
You want the funny one? Bubble TJ Warren.
That's a good pick. Good pick.
That's a great pull.
Didn't play with TJ Warren.
I'm gonna go out. Like, okay, we got CP3, prime CP3.
Yeah.
Prime CP3.
Yes. Second MVP vote.
Prime James Harden. Mm-hmm. Bubble TJ Warren. You got peak.
LaMarcus
Aldridge.
Early Blazers.
Portland LaMarcus Aldridge.
Kings Boogie at the
Kings
five.
Boogie. Yeah.
And I got Russ at six,
and they got 2017 Russ at six. I'm not gonna lie. I think we could.
That paint kind of sweet though, gang. I ain't gonna lie.
Because the thing is, y'all run a small ball. That's the only difference. Like,
okay, but Draymond is putting DeMarcus Griffin in a straight jacket though.
Are we sure about that?
LaMarcus scoring over him.
This is the thing. All I'm doing is hunting Steph.
Yeah.
Okay,
Some Kyrie in too, please.
I'll say
Kyrie.
We have the Draymond Steph connection going already. So.
We got Chris Paul, James Harden.
I mean, yeah, we have the team that beat Chris Paul and James Harden.
I would have probably went Iggy.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I was like, man, like we're going peak for peak. Y'all gotta let me get Bubble TJ Ward off, bro.
I was thinking Iggy, but I was thinking at the same time, I don't know if he would count. It's like,
yeah. No, but I was looking at the list before, and if you look at the guys he's played with, like, even, like, non-quote-unquote stars, like, obviously Bradley Beal late in his career, Kevin Martin, like, guys like
by
that.
By the way, I'm surprised you guys didn't go Steven Adams.
I thought about it.
I was like, would I rather have Steven Adams or Klay Thompson?
You know who
would have
been a pull? DeAndre Jordan.
I also considered DeAndre Jordan.
I wrote down some names that we didn't call. We didn't call because he played with Andre Drummond on the Nets.
Yeah.
He played with Serge Ibaka. That's the big one.
That was also
Iguodala is another one. This is like a funny pool, but it's real. Sixers, Ben Simmons.
He was on my list.
That's not bad.
And then Jeff Green was there. So
And we're just doing it like solely off of roster construction. I do think I probably would have picked
Steven Adams over Blake Griffin.
Could I have gotten Paul Millsap off?
Yeah, he played with Paul.
He played with him. I don't know if that would have been like the best pick to make, but
I know, that's a good pick.
Shout out Paul. He played with Paul. No funny. He played with Caron Butler. That was the nasty thing, looking at his teammates, like,
yo,
and not to like pivot the convo too much, but like, yo, the Rockets are going to be the best collection of wings he's ever played with. And not just that, it's probably going to be the best collection of bigs he's ever played with. Like, he's getting wing relief and he's getting center relief for the first time in. Probably ever, honestly, like, because the Warriors.
I'll say first time since, like, the Warriors.
I mean,
but see, the Warriors
didn't have big.
They didn't have big.
But I'm saying they had wings.
They had wings.
That's true. But that's the thing, though. When he was at OKC, they had bigs, but he was like the only wing on the team.
They had Adams.
They had Adams.
For 2011, that was a good big rotation.
Yeah, it was.
Because I'm not gonna lie, they funny enough, they pretty much did what we did this year. With Ibaka, Kanter, and Steven Adams. That's how they almost beat the Warriors, because they just like finessed the offensive glass.
Yeah.
And then when he went to the Warriors, it was a flip thing.
Yeah.
I remember him talking about that one time.
JaVale was pretty good.
JaVale was solid.
Best big, actually.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget, he didn't play with most Bates. He didn't. I think he played with David Lee.
What's the one Chris Paul shattered his ankle, like actually broke his ankle?
David West. That was a nasty clip. Oh my goodness. Yeah, man. But appreciate y'all for sticking and rocking with us for this hour. We will leave everybody's links below in the description. Make sure you guys like, comment, share, and subscribe. And that has been for the first time in a while. And can I announce it? We will be dropping weekly episodes now, guys. We have everything set up, everything scheduled. There will be no more hiatuses, no more where the guys at. Y'all don't have to send me angry DMs or send any of us angry DMs anymore, but Where the Right Read podcast is at. We'll be dropping weekly episodes from now on. And with that has been the Right Read podcast.